Amen. Leviticus chapter 21, starting at verse number 20. I don't want to twist nothing here, but as Brother Russell McDonald say, sometime I want to pull something out of here. Amen.
Yeah.
Or a crookback, or a dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scabbed, or hath his stones broken. Verse 21, no man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Amen. Thank you for standing here today for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. If God would help me for just a few moments, I'd like to ease something out of that. And I'd like to talk to us a little message that maybe you want to call it God hates. And I know that's a strong word. I don't always like to use that word, but there's some things God hates. Right. Amen.
Come on.
And God hates littleness, if you will. God hates smallness. Amen. So don't worry if you're in here today and you ain't tall in stature and you're not a big person in stature. Amen. I'm not talking about you. Hallelujah. Right. Maybe you don't weigh very much like me. Amen. I'm not even talking about you. Praise God. But God is a God of magnitude. Didn't you know that?
Right.
God is a God of generosity. Amen.
Right.
And he, praise God, despises littleness in any form. Hallelujah. Amen. What about Zacchaeus, if you will? Zacchaeus had been called many names, but there in the New Testament, praise God. Amen. Zacchaeus got saved, didn't he? He was a tax collector. Amen. And when Zacchaeus got saved, Zacchaeus had a change of heart. Amen. He went from being, I read just a little bit back there earlier, and really tax collectors of this day, they were known to be corrupt. They were known to take advantage of men and women, and they'd take advantage of the poor as well as the wealthy. It didn't matter to them just to get earthly gain. Amen. And no doubt that was the man that Zacchaeus one time was, but when Zacchaeus got saved, let me tell you something.
Yes.
He done away with littleness. Amen. And you know what he did? He came to the Lord and he said these words. Praise God. This touched my heart. He said, Lord, the half of my goods I have given to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, he said, I have restored unto him fourfold. Praise God. You know what Zacchaeus was saying was?
Yeah.
Zacchaeus was saying, when a man really finds Jesus,
woo!
Amen. Jesus changes what's in him. Zacchaus one time was a man of greed. He at one time was a man that only cared about himself. But now Zacchaeus was a man that had a lot to give to God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. Give half of what he had to the poor. He had a change of heart. Amen.
Right.
And he said, not only that, he said, if I wrongly done a man, I'll go restore unto him fourfold. If I took 100 that he didn't owe me, I'll give him 400 back. Praise God. I tell you, it's a good man, ain't it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I feel like old Zacchaeus really got a hold of it. Amen. But at the first of the year, which we're still in the first part of the year here, although January seems like it's flying by. Amen. It's a time for most of us to decide upon a course for the year. Amen. How am I going to live this year? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to try to, amen, not serve God in littleness of this year. How about you?
Right.
Amen. I'd really like to give God everything. Amen. I wonder what would happen. Brother George talking back there, he got me fired up. Amen. So if we get two or three more fired up, we might be able to have revival this year. Amen. And Brother George is talking back here. He said, I think God is ready to move, and I think God is ready to do something. Amen. And if we could just get a handful of folks that would say, God, he didn't even know what the Lord was dealing with me on. But if we could just get a handful of folks to say, God, I'm not going to serve you a little this year. Amen.
Woo!
I'm not just going to have one foot in and one foot out. I'm not just going to come to a service of two and miss two or three. I'm not just going to get in worship one service and lay back two or three more. Let somebody, hey, remember, I'm not going to be little this year, but I'm going to give it everything I've got in 2025. I'm going to give give God. I'm not going to worship him and serve him in littleness, but I'm going to serve him with my whole heart. In the book of Leviticus that I read in our text, God said, don't let the dwarf come in my presence. I'm not being mean to a dwarf. He said, don't let the crook back come into my presence. Don't let those that have blemish. You know what God was saying? When a man comes to me and he gets in my presence, he's got to give it all. Amen. God don't want your leftovers. God don't want what you had left over that you don't have time to give to some other church or to some other organization or to some other club. God said, I want you first. I want everything you got. Amen. Give it to me first. Don't serve God in littleness. Don't serve God in smallness. But give me everything you've got. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Usually I would have 3-4 points, but today I'm going to preach two major themes here. And if God will help us, theme number one, I'll give you both of them up front. But theme number one, amen, what are your thoughts? Do you have dwarfish thoughts? Amen. What are your thoughts towards God? And I'm going to preach this a while. And then secondly, I'm going to preach on what is our thoughts towards our fellow man. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like to ask you here today, what is your thoughts towards God? How big do you think God really is? Amen. Oh, Lord, help me here today. I really need the anointing of heaven to touch me. Amen. If I'm going to touch anybody's heart and touch anybody's life, it's going to come through the anointing of God. Amen. It's always, amen, oh yes, a one talented fellow who is inclined to make excuses and accusations and say, amen, something against God. I'm reminded in Luke chapter 19, you can turn and read this later, but there a good part of Luke chapter 19, Jesus gave several of them talents. Amen. Hallelujah. He gave several of them, amen, some money, some gold, if you will. And he gave them pounds. Amen. And he went away. And he said, when I come again, another place said, put it to usury. In other words, what God gives us, we're not to bury it. Amen.
Oh, I wish I had everybody in here.
Amen. That's the best. Praise God. If God gives you a talent to sing, you better sing. Amen. If God gives you a talent to preach, you better preach. If God gives you a talent to play an instrument, play that instrument with all of your heart. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is, and that's the natural things that we see, but God gives you a lot more talents than that. Amen. I know I'm talking about Brother George a whole lot. I know I can't get the big head. Amen. You're a man of praise like Brother George. And when you pray a lot, you can't get a big head. Amen. But you know, God's given Brother George a talent to reach the lost. Amen. Oh, yes. And did you know if you'd pray enough, God would give you a talent like that? You'd weep and you'd cry over sinners, and you'd have a desire to see sinners saved. Why don't you pray and ask God, Lord, in 2025, I just don't want to get up and go to work in the morning and come home and be tired and be grumpy. Amen. And argue around with my family. Amen. And fuss and fight what we're going to have for supper. Go to bed. Amen. At night. And everything's upside down. Get up the next morning and do it all over again. Wait till Thursday night comes. Put on a smile and act like I'm coming to church excited. Some of you come to church and you dread every minute of it. And you think to yourself, I wish I really didn't have to go. I wish it wasn't obligated. Let me tell you something. You're living life too little. I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, you're living little. Amen. And God said, don't let the drawer come in my presence. Don't let the crook back come in my presence. You're living far below what God has called you to do. You ought to get excited and jump from the rooftop and say, I'm saved. Every man on your job, every woman on your job, they ought to say, I want what they have. They really got it. They're really saved. They really had this cough.
Touching God.
So he gave this man some pounds here. He gave him 10 pounds and he came back. And one man took that. Amen. And he put it in the hands of God, and God blessed it and multiplied it. Woo! Next man took what God gave him, put it back in the hands of God, and said, God, if you'll put your hand on me, I'll use what you give me. And he said, Lord, amen, more have I took what you gave me and blessed, and it's magnified, and it's multiplied, and made a little more. And he finally came to another man, and he said, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou was an austere man. You're a strict man. You're a stern man. Amen. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou sowest not. He said, hey, God, I know, Lord, you don't have a lot. You don't even have a house that you call home. Amen. So I took what you gave me, and I put it in a napkin, and I hid it somewhere. And Jesus looked at this man, and he said, oh, amen, this littleness, it takes a man, a very small tendencies to say a thing like that to the creator of the universe. Can you imagine looking at God saying, God, I wasn't so sure about, amen, taking what you gave me and using it for you, so I hid it, amen. Oh, God, amen. We look at a man like that and we say he should have never did it, and that's what we're doing. Every day we take what God's given us and we say, God, you can't, amen, give revival. God, you can't give us revival. You can't send in sinners. You can't bless a church in 2025. I tell you what you're doing. You're putting that talent and wrapping it up in a napkin and putting it under the bed. And God's saying, you can't serve me like that. You can't give everything like that. You got to give it back to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God can't use a Scrooge like a Scrooge top man, can
you?
Or a Scrooge top woman.
Stand.
God have you, Lord.
Thank you.
There's no place in heaven for a man or a woman like that. Because you're so little. Amen. Do you think God's like that? I told you my number one point here, my first point, amen, was what are your thoughts of God?
Yeah.
Do you think God's small?
No.
Do you think God is a dwarf? Do you think God is a crookback that he can't save your family?
Woo!
Do you think God is a crookback and a dwarf that he can't reach the lost at any cost? Do we think God has abandoned the Huntington, West Virginia? I did a lot of contemplating. I still might preach it. Brother Kirk showed up Thursday night. I was going to preach a little bit about winning the lost and witnessing for Jesus. I may preach it another night. Amen. But this got on me today. And this is what I felt like preaching. But I feel like telling you, church, can God reach your town? Can God reach your family? Not as long, amen, as your crookback. Not as long as you're a dwarf and you come and think you're serving a dwarf. God can't do it. Amen. Oh, he can have revival in Columbus. He can have revival in Lexington. He can have revival in Alabama, in Florida. No, he can have revival in Huntington, West Virginia. We got to have a couple people that'll say, I'm not going to be small, but I'm selling out.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I'm selling out and I'm giving everything I've got.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, yes. Are you saying about God as the prodigal's elder brother said about his father? And he was angry and he would not go in, and therefore he came, amen, his father out, and he entreated him, and he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, which was come, which is devoured by living with harlots, amen, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. That's the attitude of the little. I said, that's the attitude of the little. This man told his father, said, Father, I stayed home. I didn't go out and party. I didn't go out and spend everything that you ever gave me for my inheritance, but I stayed home. Amen. And he said, you didn't give me a fatty calf. Oh, hallelujah. I might preach this another day, but I'm going to hit this and move on and get the rest of what I got. But let me tell you something. God can't have revival, amen, with the prodigal. Amen. Let me tell you something. The prodigal can have revival because he realized, I went out, amen, I messed my life up, amen. But he realized, I came home. Brother Chris back there said, I realized the world was not what I needed. The world was not what, amen, was going to suffice and satisfy me in my life. So he came back home. God can have revival with a man that'll come back home and believe God can restore and believe God can have revival. But it's the prodigal's brother that God can't have revival with.
Yes, God. Woo. Come on.
Woo. Prodigal's brother.
Bless him, Lord.
Oh, God.
And he said, I ain't get a fatted calf.
Come on.
Woo. I didn't get no. Look at my selfishness.
Come on.
All he thought about was me. All he thought about was what I missed out on.
Right.
All he thought about was, look at George. Amen. Woo. Amen. I come to preach. Hope I'm getting this clear. I want to get it clear as mud here. Amen. You can't live life always looking. Look at them. Look at them. They're doing better than me. They got a fatty calf and I don't. You'll never have revival. You'll live in misery all of your life. I tell you what you got to do. You got to have a free spirit and say, God, I'm coming home. I don't care if I ever get a fatty calf. I don't care if they ever call on me. I don't care if I ever get any recognition. I'm going to serve you, Lord, with everything I've got.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
I feel the Holy Ghost here today.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless him, Lord. Touch him, Lord. Touch him, Lord.
Bless him, God.
You'll have sick too.
Come on. Touch him, Lord.
Do you accuse God of favoritism?
Holy Ghost, have you what?
Come on.
And say that you've been so good.
Come on.
And you deserve more than you got.
Come on.
Pray for me.
Bless you, Lord.
Come on.
Bless you, Lord.
That is a pity indeed if you live like that. In fact, it's a rank injustice to live your life always wondering why you can't have more.
Wow.
Is that how you feel towards God at this very moment? Now, I'll say this, Weston's in the back. Weston just truly enjoys somebody giving him something. He really does. Amen. A lot of people give him knives, and if you give him a knife, thank you for it. And I've always tried to teach him to be thankful when somebody gives you something. Amen. He really enjoys getting stuff. Amen. I'll never forget, I don't know if he's about 3 or 4 years old, Brother Daniel, one Christmas, you know, we probably got him way too much through the years. Amen. We try to get him what we can. And we had a pretty good Christmas, I thought. And they opened up a lot of gifts. And I'll never forget this, Brother George. Weston smiled real big. He's smarter than me, Brother Shuffy. I never thought of this. Amen. And he said, I'll tell you what y'all can get me next time. Amen. He said, get me the machine that makes the toys. Amen. That's what I want. Get me the machine that spits out the toys. Great God. You know why? He was thinking, hey, on Christmas. Christmas, I get 3 or 4 or 5, amen, maybe 6 good gifts. But if I get the machine, I can have gifts all year long. Praise God. Hey, church, I come to tell us, I just don't want God to spit a little gift out here and there. I got the God of the universe that spits out the gifts. I said he's on my side. I serve him every morning. I get up every day, and I got the gift giver on my side. I feel the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, you don't got to serve God in littleness. You don't got to serve God in smallness. Give him everything you got all year long.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Lord. Hallelujah.
You, Lord.
Don't serve God.
Thank you, Lord.
Always wondering why you ain't got more than you got.
Come on.
Odds are it's because of the spirit you got.
Praise.
I ain't been mean here.
Come on.
But if you're lacking and if you're wanting,
come on,
in God, it's probably because of the spirit that you've got towards God.
You're right.
Woo.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God.
Come on, brother.
Amen. I listened to Brother Prescott. It's been a year or two ago. I was mowing. I listen to so much preaching when I'm listening on the mower. Amen. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor. Amen. But Brother Prescott said there's nothing any more detrimental than a mom or a dad could do to a child than to negatively speak about the man of God that God has placed in that child's life. Amen. There's nothing anymore you can do to damn your kids, amen, than to talk about those that are in spiritual authority in their life. There's nothing else that you can do to damn your children than such a thing as that. Oh, God. You know why? Because there's going to come a time in their life when they need that man and they need that spiritual woman in their life. And if you've talked about them and if you rat got down in the presence of your children, when it comes time that God needs to use that man, he can't do it because you put littleness in their mind. You put littleness in their heart, and they don't respect the man of God. They don't respect the woman. Amen. It's detriment to their soul because you bred littleness into your children.
Come on.
Oh, God.
Woo.
Come on.
Good thing we started early. Amen. I got a lot to preach.
Come on.
Praise God. Woo. Let me tell you something, church. I don't deserve the fatty calf, Brother Daniel. I don't feel like I do. I'm not here with some kind of false, amen, humility. A lot of people, amen, they act in false humility. I don't deserve the fatty calf, but rather, I deserve hell. I deserve judgment. I deserve the wrath of God. But you know what? I'm here today. I come to tell the Lord. I come to tell the devil. I deserve judgment. I deserve hell. But I'm here, amen, to praise him for what he has done. God, I could have been chewed up. I could have been spit out. I could be a drug addict. I could be strung out on dope or on alcohol. My life could be upside down. But thank God, I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven. You're looking in a little way. Your mind is being deterred. And you're not thinking very much of a big God.
Woo!
Woo!
Yay, Lord. Oh, God. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Jesus.
A wealthy man.
Bless you, Lord.
Anybody ever, y'all don't read Dan and Louie much. Revival time, Brother Earl's probably heard revival time. C.M. Ward said, C.M. Ward started revival time. And then the latter part, Dan and Louie. And my kids love Dan and Louie. Dan was Dan Betzer from Revival Time, but Dan started the Dan and Louie Bible. My kids have listened to hours and hours and hours, a lot like Odyssey, a little different. Amen. Hours and hours of Dan and Louie. Well, C.M. Ward said in his early days of evangelism, he was an evangelist, and he stayed in the house rather wealthy man. When a preacher would come through, this wealthy man would put him up. The wealthy man wasn't saved, but his wife was a devoted Christian to the Lord. Amen. This man hated God so much, and he hated his wife going to church so much. When it was snow and she couldn't drive to church, this man run a massive fleet of taxis. He owned the taxi service in his town, and she couldn't drive herself to church, so she'd have to get a taxi to take her to church. Amen. When the roads would get bad, and you know that man hated God so much, and he hated his wife going to church so much, he'd charge her the full bill. Amen. For his taxi service to go to church, and she'd have to take it out of her allotted spend for the month. Hey, that's a lot of littleness, ain't it? Hey, God. Oh, amen. I come to tell us, church, amen, your giving. I didn't come to preach on this, but I didn't come not to. But your giving in church reveals how big or how small you think of your God. Paul the Apostle said that God accepts our giving, amen, on this basis alone. He said, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. God is going to bless you, amen, on what you have, not what you don't have. That's why that woman that only had two mites, she came into the house of God, and the doctors and the lawyers put a lot of money in the plate, and that little widow woman come up, and she only cast two mites in. And Jesus said, the widow gave more than everybody else. Why? Because she didn't have nothing. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not coming to tell you, amen, to give everything you've got, but God commands a tenth. Amen. I didn't come to preach this, but I'm going to leave you with this. If you want God to bless you in 2025, every $10 you get, give a dollar back to God. Every time God blesses you and he increases you, give a tenth back to God. And God said, I'll open up the windows of heaven, amen, and pour you out a blessing that ain't able not to be received if you'll give to me.
Yes, Lord.
Brother, come on.
But you know, a lot of people don't give because of their thoughts towards God.
Come on.
They don't think God can back up his promise.
Come on.
Woo!
Bless him, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, brother.
Should I preach a little more or move on?
Come on. Preach, brother.
A dollar in an offering pan from a man eclipses coupons, and whose interest alone is enough to live all year long on. A dollar in an offering pan don't mean nothing to God.
Come on.
Woo!
Come on. Yes.
Did you hear me?
Yes, God.
Bless him, Lord. Come on, brother.
Boy, got quiet all of a sudden.
Come on.
You take a man that lives on his interests.
Come on.
Lives on just a little bit that comes in, and he throws a dollar in an offering pan. It's an insult to God. God said, look how good I've been to you.
Yes,
right. And that's come what on, you bro. Give me.
You're right.
Woo! Thank
come
you,
on.
Hallelujah. Brother George told me one time, and I've heard it put like this. Brother George said, I'd hate to be riding a new Ford down the road, Ford truck, whatever you like, Toyota, Subaru, whatever vehicle you like, you substitute for this. I'd hate to be riding that Ford truck down the road on God's money, wouldn't you?
Oh, my.
Oh, I better move on here. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not against you having good things in life. I'm really not. But we'll spend 30%, 40% of our money on pleasure. Amen. It won't give God 10.
Come on.
Woo.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll go on 5 vacations a year and spend $10,000. Amen. Or more a year on vacation, on whatever it is we like to do. And when it comes time to pass the plate, we give God a dollar. Hey, I'm not diminishing anybody in this house. If you ain't got it, God knows it. But God expects, amen, a tenth of everything he sends your way. Let me tell you something. God's been good to this old boy. Amen. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. And if you want the hand of God on your life, you can't give God the leftovers.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I'm not here to give you a finance class. I'm really not.
Praise you, Lord.
But if you live your life in such a fashion that you ain't got $10 out of every $100 to give God, you're living too high on the horse.
Come
Come on. You're right.
Good thing I got a couple of amens. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I'd sell my four-wheeler. I'd sell my boat.
Right.
I'd sell anything I need to sell. Yeah. Amen. People get, and they got a closet full of clothes, and they go shopping every month, and they go vacationing every month, and they got every kind of fun gadget they got. Amen. They come to church, and we want to know why the church struggles. We want to know why we ain't got, because we're serving God in love.
You're right.
Woo!
Yes, God.
Yes.
Holy.
Yes.
The church will never prosper that don't at least have faithful members that'll come to here. Here's what a church has to have. A church has to have faithful members that will at least come to church. And you got to have faithful members that's at least invested enough to say, I'm going to give what God commanded me to give.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
You can't get off the ground and do anything if you ain't got that.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's why churches struggle.
Bless
you can't
Lord.
Get people to do what the Bible teaches. That's
you,
why
Lord.
Churches struggle. Amen. That's why pastors struggle. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's why churches struggle. Because people don't fall in love with God enough to affect their wallet.
That's right.
Right.
You're right. Come on.
Praise
Should Lord. I move on to my next point?
Preach,
we was a little higher. Amen.
Come on.
Woo! Oh, God. Amen. And the spirit of our giving must be, amen, not small, but it must be magnified. For Paul said, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver.
Amen. That's right, brother.
Yes, he does.
There you have it. God loves a cheerful giver.
Bless him, Lord.
Praise you,
That's
Lord.
Right.
I had a fellow got mad one time. It's been years ago. Some of you know him. A lot of you wouldn't. He really got upset. Some things were said that wasn't true. This, that, and the other. Man, this guy got mad. He really did. He got upset. And he came and he said, I'll have you to know I give this amount of money this year. And I said, thank you for that. Now, I'm not being mean to anybody in this church, me included. I'm in this
Come
same
on.
Group here.
Come
when
on.
I give what I give to this church, amen, we got to pay the bills and do everything we do. Amen. When you give and you give to the work of God and you put it in God's hand, it's out of your hand
That's
and
right.
it's in God's hand. And you don't get to tell everybody what to do with it from that point on.
Right.
That's it, Lord.
You're right.
Come on, brother.
So he got the line of men. And he said, I had, you know, I give this and this and this and this and this. And we had a little money in the bank at that time, Brother Tommy. And I said, hey, buddy, I'll tell you this. You figure out how much he was leaving. He done told me, I'm out of here. Hey, I ain't putting up with this, boy. He chewed me up one side and down another, spit me out. And he said, I'll have you know, here's what I gave. I said, if you want it back, you write it down and we'll put it back. Amen. I'll go get it all official through Sister Kathy. Amen. If we got the money, I'll write you every penny of your money back. Because if you give to God and it ain't cheerful from your heart, it ain't doing you one lick of good. Amen. Hey, God, maybe I ought to rewind and go back to where I was preaching at a while ago. Amen. Hey, let me tell you something, church. Amen. It ain't begrudgingly. Better give God 10 out of every 100. I do it because he blessed me. I do it because he shoveled it in my hand. And I get to give it back to God to further his work and to further his kingdom and to reach the lost and to do his work.
Amen. Bless you,
Lord.
Woo!
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus.
I never have made it to our fellow man yet. You ready for him? Praise God. What a difference when you hear somebody that serves God in large. Brother Tommy and I was talking about Don Rich a while ago. Brother Don Rich, I guess, is somewhere up around 90 years old. Preached in, I guess, 15, 20 different countries. Preached in, I guess, most of the states in America. Preached for 50 years or more. Preached the gospel. And when you hear a man like Don Rich get up, he doesn't preach and he doesn't serve God in smallness.
No, we don't.
He preaches and serves God with everything. Give me a man that's willing to give God everything. Give me a family that's willing to give God everything, and I'll give you, amen, a family. Woo, that's on their way to heaven.
Yes.
God and doesn't serve him in littleness. Oh God. Woo. Amen. Where's the Hudson Taylors at? Amen. Where the other day in that I've no doubt Billy Graham had his issues, but Billy Graham was a man that loved to win souls for Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. And I seen a picture of those guys that prayed the other day at the inauguration, standing beside the statue of Billy Graham up there. Give us a man. Hallelujah. That'll say, hey, I'm willing to serve God with everything I've got. Do you entertain small thoughts towards your God? Do you entertain dwarf thoughts towards your fellow man? You can't be big towards God and small towards your fellow brother or sister.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God.
A man who through unwise investments had accumulated a huge debt, Matthew chapter 18 and 27, that he could not possibly pay. He couldn't pay the bill. And he went and he said, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything I owe you. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, and he loosed him, and he forgave him the debt.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Oh, God.
But this man had a small way of thinking towards others. And do you think his forgiveness of his bankruptcy, he would have been grateful, he would have been thankful, but he went down the road and found a man that owed him. And he said, hey, buddy, I need my money. And this man said, hey, I'm sorry, I don't have to pay. He grabbed him by the throat. And he said, pay me what you owe me. And he said, I'm sorry, I don't have it, but give me some more time and I'll come up with it. And he said, no, and he threw him in jail.
Yeah.
He felt small of his brother.
Yeah.
You can't think small of your fellow man and think big towards your God.
Thank you, Lord. Right.
Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo. You're right, brother.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Jesus. Is this all right?
Jesus. Amen.
Keep preaching. Don't worry about it.
Bless him, Lord.
I'm nothing to nobody. I don't think I am. I really don't. I know how low I am on the totem pole. But a fella really talked to me dirty one time. I tell you, I ain't being mean. This has happened several times, and I wouldn't hope this on nobody. But right across the street there, I don't know if any of y'all remember Ron, living that little tin house right there.
Yeah.
Living that little tin house. Long before we ever bought this little yellow house over here, Ron talked to me one day. I used to pull the van in. We had a church van all the way back then. I used to pull it in with nose front towards the church. And he said, I don't like sitting there looking the back end of that van all week long. And he come out there and chewed me out. And I said, okay. So I started backing it in so he could look the front up. You know, he didn't have to look the back, he could look the front. And so he, get that old big 15 passenger van in. I pull up on his driveway over about, just 4 or 5 feet, pulled up on his driveway to put the back of that church van in there. And he come out one day, that wasn't good enough. I was trying to, let him look the front up. And he come out and he chewed me up one side and spit me out on the other side. And he said, don't you ever put the tires of that van on my driveway again. Amen. I stopped, Brother George. I never had no ill feeling towards a man whatsoever. I stopped. And I had an eerie feeling come across me. An eerie feeling come on me, Brother Tommy. And the Lord just said, keep your peace. I'll take care of this. And I tell you, it wasn't just a matter of days. Ron dropped dead with a heart attack over there.
Come on.
Dropped dead with a heart attack.
Come on.
Amen. I'm not saying this in any kind of glory or any kind of gloat. Amen. I had no intentions on buying his house. The church had just bought the White House right behind here. We didn't have no money to buy another house. His son come over and he said, I hear you're in the house buying business. I said, oh, no. No, we're not in the house buying business. The church bought this little house because it connects to us. And old man Don Williams, before Don died, the guy that gives the church, the only thing he ever asked me, he said, if this house ever comes up for sale, I want you to buy it. I said, okay, if we can, I'll buy the house. And God worked it out. We bought the house. So this guy heard we was in the house buying. I said, no, I'm not in the house buying business. I have no interest in buying a house. And he gave me a price that anybody wouldn't turn down. I said, for that price, I'll buy your house.
Yes, yes. Praise God.
Never thought anything about it, Brother George. Still never thought anything about a lot of that stuff. until we went up to Flynn Maximiller up here. I always use Flynn Maximiller. They charge you $400 or $500. They do all everything's legal and make sure all the debts and taxes and everything, they do it all, handle all that. So I go up there and I sign the papers, and Ron's son was up there, and it was 33 days. 33 days from the day he dropped dead with a heart attack, I bought his house. And that lawyer, she got an eerie feeling on her. She stopped. And she said, I never did this before in all my life. And they said, what's that? They said, what's that? She said, I've never seen anybody die. And then 30 days later, somebody else buy their house. She said, usually you got to go through probate and all that stuff. She said, I don't understand this. And when she said that same eerie feeling come across me. Amen. That man cursed me. That man talked about me like that. Amen. And in 30 days, I owned his house. Let me tell you something. Woo. You better not think Dorothy's thoughts towards God. Oh, God. You better not think Dorothy's thoughts towards your fellow brothers, towards your fellow sisters. You better learn how to treat people.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I got to say this, and once again, I don't know why, maybe just warning somebody, you better watch what you say. Who you say to what?
Come on. Yeah.
God's keeping track.
Yes, he is.
This ain't been super long ago. In the past, another incident similar to that, a fellow talked to me like a redheaded stepchild. And I got an eerie feeling come across me. And I told Michelle, I said, hey, everything's good right now. I said, you go mark it on your calendar, Michelle. I only felt that feeling once or twice in my life. I said, that fella talked to me like he shouldn't talk to a preacher. Amen. I said, mark it down on your calendar. Things are good now, but they won't always be good. Amen. Let me tell you something. You better watch out how you talk to God, how you talk to God's man, and how you talk to God's people.
Right. Amen.
Woo!
Right.
Come on. Yes, God.
Bless him, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
I'm done preaching. I preach way too long. This is what happens when we have snow days and I don't get to preach for 2 weeks. I'm done.
Be the God.
Mike Roberts tells of old Mooningham. I'm sorry. Mooningham was a guy that came to Richlands for years and years and years. And he fasted the whole meeting. Back years ago, Richlands lasted at least 10 days. Now, you know, it's Sunday to Friday. But anyway, years ago, Richlands lasted, I think, was it a minimum of 10 days? Sometimes it'd go for longer. Them old timers, man, they had church.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think it was Mooningham told the story of, it was Mooningham. He fasted every year, the entirety of the camp meeting. So weak, he could hardly go to church. But Mooningham, if I get the story right, you'll understand the greater details here. But I'm pretty sure it was Mooningham's cow got out one time. And went over to his neighbor's garden, and his neighbor seen that cow out of his garden, and he got mad, Brother Shuffy. He got mad, and he come over to that preacher's house, and he grabbed him by the throat, and he jerked him out of there, and he said, look at your cow over there eating my garden, destroyed my garden. Amen. And he grabbed that preacher out of that house, and that preacher never fought him. He never said an ill word towards him, and he kept pulling him around and wrestling around. God finally got him out there in the yard, and he beat that preacher, and he kicked that preacher. That preacher's laying on the ground, and he kicked that old preacher, and he beat him till a fly wouldn't light on him. Amen. And he was just so frustrated, so mad, he went and got on his horse. And just to try to cool down, he went and got on his horse. And they said there wasn't a cloud in the sky. Sun was shining, beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky. And that guy was out there on his horse and said lightning struck across that sky. And said it scared that horse, and that horse jumped up and bucked that man that beat the preacher off, and his foot got caught in that stirrup. Mike Roberts told this, and his foot got caught in that stirrup, and that horse drug that man all over that place, scared from that bolt of lightning. And you know what happened? That horse finally ran over to where he beat the preacher, and there that man's foot come out of that stirrup, and he laid there and died where he beat the preacher. Let me tell you something, you better not think small thoughts towards God and God's people.
Come on, brother.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Took a little different turn here than I thought.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you something, church. Don't live a small life. I've been really praying. I really have. I've been praying and I've been asking God, Lord, help me to live bigger. And don't get this confused. We're not wanting to pat on the back. We're not wanting to rub. We're not wanting somebody. We're not wanting self-praise. We're not wanting others to praise us. I want to live bigger for God.
Yes, that's it.
I want to do more for God.
Amen.
I want to win the lost. I want to preach with greater fervor and greater desire and greater anointing. Hey, singers, do you want to sing with greater desire and greater fervor and greater? Do we really want to have a greater church? Do we want to build something for God?
Yes, God.
Glory to God.
Or are you satisfied with being small?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
He said, don't let a dwarf, don't let a crook back, don't let a blemish come nigh my presence. He said, a dwarf or a crook back or a blemished person will not serve bread in my house. God can't use somebody with a small frame of thought and don't think God can do anything. Let me tell you something, church. Amen. The Lord sent me here today with a burden on my heart. I come here and I thought I'll just preach about winning the lost. It's really been on my heart, and I probably will preach it. I thought that's what I'll preach. And the Lord dealt with me to preach this message in this service.
Glory, glory, glory.
You can't get by serving God small.
Thank you.
For the rest of your life.
That's right. Lord. Right, Lord.
Give me some Don Riches. Give me some Billy. Billy Graham's. I ain't got time, but I just know some of his stories. Billy Graham was that man that was on his knees. Remember when they showed him that was at Wesley's old home place where Wesley got called to preach and where old Wesley got to fire God, and they was telling about the history of old Wesley, and Billy Graham was there on a school bus trip. I think that went. And they said, well, we got to go get on the bus and go back to school. And they got to missing a little boy named by the name of Billy. And he was in there on his knees where old Wesley was on his knees. They told him in their little exhibition there, they said, right there is where old John Wesley prayed. Old Billy Graham, as a small child, got down on his knees and he said, God, everybody said a man, there's never been a man rose up like Wesley, but if you'll help me and give me some bigness, I'll be that man. And old Billy Graham growed up and he preached to thousands for the Lord because he refused to serve God in littleness.
Right.
Thank you, mighty Lord.
The Holy Ghost. Bow your head and pray for me here, Lord. Let's pray for this service. Pray for this altar right here, Lord. Meet us in this altar, God. You changed even the directions of my thoughts since I've been here. Amen. In this service while I'm preaching, but God, you changed the directions of my thoughts when I got here a little while back. I've been studying on this little thought for a day or two, but I thought I'd preach something else, but God, I felt back there you commanded me to preach this word.
Yes,
Lord, I tried to preach it. I wish I could have done a little better.
Thank you, Lord.
But God, would you let it take hold in somebody's heart in this house?
Yes, God. Yes,
let them understand they can't serve God like a dwarf.
Thank you.
Precious.
Woo.
Precious, Lord.
Stand with me, church. Stand with me while the Holy Ghost is moving and dealing. Amen. They're not being empty spot on this altar. I know we're small in number, but if I could get four or five of you, really, 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 if I could get four or five of you to get hungry and say, I'm not going to serve God in littleness anymore, I'm going to catch on fire, I'm going to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm going to get the zeal of God burning in me, I'm going to do what God's commanded me to do. Hey, I believe by this time next year we can have revival.
Yes.
Amen. It ain't all in about doubling sizes, but great God, we are. This church ought to double in size if we get somebody with some fire, and we get somebody with some zeal, and we get somebody with some desire to say, I'm not going to serve God in littleness. I'm going to get hungry. I'm going to get the fire of God. And I'm going to serve God with all my heart.
You really are.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, church.
Help me today, Lord.
I'm going to serve God with everything. I'm going to get in my whole heart. We need to find some more Gary Mason backs. We need to have a hunger and desire for the lost. We need to get hungry. Serve God. With our whole heart.
Oh God, what you see in me is all I know. Thank you. Thank you.